And he said, and the priest recites, Ego te absolvo, a peccatis tuis, in nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. He translated the text in Latin, I absolve you from your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said to all men then, fellows, Catholics really believe, once those words are pronounced, they are back in God's friendship. That is why, on Easter Sunday night, when our Lord instituted the sacrament of confession, remember he told them, peace be with you. He repeated, peace be with you. One of the most expressive definitions of the sacrament of confession, it is the sacrament of peace. The deepest universal source of troubled minds, of anxious hearts, is guilt. This, by the way, is the verdict not only of the Catholic Church, is a verdict of every intelligent and educated psychologist and psychiatrist. In fact, psychiatry would go out of business if a nation became Catholic and the Catholics believed, really believed, but I'm just saying, the sacrament of confession is the sacrament of peace. And, dare I say it, and the more often you go to confession, the more we ensure your peace of soul. With the loss of sanctifying grace, we said, there's a loss of merits. And finally, sanctifying grace is restored, as we were saying, by the sacrament of confession, and watch it, by an act of perfect contrition. And a perfect contrition is made when a person regrets, is sorry for having offended God here gravely out of love for God. Now, that does not exclude the fear of God. But watch it. There are two ways we can fear God. We can fear God because we fear the consequences of our failure in loving God. Or we can fear God because we're just plain scared. And the underlying motive is not repentance or regret or sorrow for having offended a God who so deeply loves us that he made us out of nothing and has heaven in store for us. And again, a subject on which I could speak for hours, which I have in fact for days and weeks in teaching priests and those studying for the priesthood. And that is why confession is such a great gift of God to all of us. You should also know that a person is not to receive Holy Communion unless that person is, as we say, morally certain of being in the state of grace. In other words, unless the circumstances are most extraordinary, a person who has committed a mortal sin is not to receive Holy Communion until he or she has gone to confession. Am I clear? And the grave reason would be, for example, giving grave scandal. A person would not go to communion. And of course, even then, we have to make an act of perfect contrition. One part left, growth. Now, church teaches there are three basic ways of growing in sanctifying grace. They are, first, cooperation with actual graces, secondly, prayer, and thirdly, reception of the sacraments. Again, a subject which is an ocean. It is not only that we are to be in a state of grace when our bodies die, to ensure that we reach heaven. We are to grow in this state of grace. In other words, the adjective holy has degrees. A person can be holy, a person can be holier, and a person can be the holiest that, say, he or she, with God's grace, can achieve. And listen, either we grow in sanctifying grace or we are losing it. There is no option. And there's one thing the modern world is teaching us. We are living in the most crime-ridden century of human history. That is not rhetoric. As I've said to so many audiences, ordinary Catholics will not survive, not today. Ordinary priests, ordinary religious, ordinary bishops will not survive. Only heroic Catholics will survive. And the heroic Catholic is one who doesn't just practice and by living up to and obeying the commandments. Heroism means going beyond what we are obliged to do on a penalty of losing God's friendship. None of you have to be here. I don't have to be here. Thursday of this week, I'm going to Dallas, Texas, to give an 8-day retreat to the Carmelites in Dallas. I don't have to go. Lord willing, on the 5th of November, I'm going to go to, Calcutta in India for 1 month. I don't have to go. In other words, we're talking about growth. We grow in sanctifying grace in the measure that we do more than we have to. And one modern pope after another, especially the present one, is telling us those the only kind of Catholics who will survive the present deluge of sin. And the worst consequence of not living a heroic life in today's world is not only the tragic prospect of losing God's friendship, but our minds become blinded to reality. A psychiatrist, of all people, published a book, Whatever Happened to Sin? What's a sin anymore? as Mother Teresa told President Clinton, President, once you have approved and you promote abortion, what other crime in the United States can you punish? Tell me. Smart Bill kept his mouth shut. The mind is blinded by sin, as nothing else blinds the intellect. First, then, we grow in sanctifying grace by cooperation with actual graces. And this were a course on divine grace, a two-semester course, 3 classes every week, an hour each class. 15 weeks each semester. I keep looking at the clock. Actual graces are all those divine illuminations of mind and divine inspirations of the will that God is constantly giving us, to enable us to do what? To grow in sanctifying grace. And the normal channels of these actual graces are, well, people in our lives. Household wives, after the sacraments, the most important source of grace in your life is your husband. Say that again. And whatever else you learn from these two courses, please learn there are two kinds of actual graces, the pleasant, enjoyable graces and the painful ones. Secondly, by the reception, well, by cooperation with graces, by prayer, we grow in God's grace only in the measure that we pray. And, as I've told you on some occasion to some of you, my Jesuit students, especially from Asia, have told me over the years, we marvel and admire your freedom, but we're saddened at how little Americans pray. To be able to say Mass, because I lost today on my way to Calcutta for Mother Teresa's funeral. Stop over in Amsterdam, had about a 3-hour layover. Fortunately, it was enough time to say Mass in a place of worship. When I got to that place of worship, there was a Muslim on his knees, carpet in front of him, adoring Allah. He saw me come in. He got out. As soon as I finished my Mass, 2 Muslims were waiting for me to get out. And they began to pray. And Detroit is the largest Muslim city in the United States. Do you know that? You want to begin? To begin to convert the followers of Muhammad unless we Christians and Catholics do more praying. Prayer. That's why God sends us troubles and difficulties to wake us up. Prayer. Ignatius tells us, his followers, to tell people to count the amount of time they spend each day in prayer. Over the years, many years, I don't pass around my schedule, but I mark down each evening how much time I've spent in prayer each day. And then reception of the sacraments and reception of all of the sacraments. When we were confirmed, we increased sanctifying grace in our souls. When you people married and you received the sacrament of matrimony, you increased the state of sanctifying grace in your souls. And don't tell me when you're married you don't need more grace. When we go to confession, if the no mortal sins are confessed, I encourage people to go to confession as often as you can. Impose on priests. And of course, in my ordination, the sacrament of holy orders increases sanctifying grace. And the main reason for receiving the sacrament of what used to be called extreme unction, but of anointing, is to have more sanctifying grace in preparation for entering eternity. And that is why, go to Mass and Communion as often as you can. Your sanctifying grace is increased by carrying the cross. Father, would you please drop the subject? Not as long as I am alive and sane. The cross is a great treasure. Finally, sanctifying grace grows as members of the mystical body of Christ grow in their union with Christ. In other words, our growth in union with Christ, hear it, sanctifies the whole human race, and especially members of the Catholic Church, which we identify as the mystical body of Christ. The more holy each one of us, the more sanctifying grace everyone else receives. In heaven, we don't know our benefactors now. Then we'll find out. Oh, Melanie, from, say, Tanzania in Africa. I just found out that your very holy life assured me of my salvation. Thanks, Melanie. Thanks. And I think we should take a break. Let's make it 15 minutes, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit, amen.